Good morning. This is a season of preparation. This is exactly what we have been talking about the past several weeks. And last week when we talked about the shepherds, we read the text from the Gospels where John comes out and he says, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord," right? And we were called to prepare through our repentance. Over and over again throughout this Advent season, we are called to prepare. Yesterday, if you were on the tour of churches, we made several stops around town, and one of the places that we stopped was St. Anne's at the Catholic Church. And as we were sitting there listening to the preach talk about the beautiful architecture around their sanctuary, someone raised their hand and said, "Why no Christmas trees?" And as some of you might know, we've talked about this before, I love the season of Advent and all that it represents. And although I do love Christmas, this season is not celebratory yet. It is not about the Christmas trees and the lights and the carols. It is a time of fasting and of preparation, getting ready for the joy and the feast that will come at Christmas. And so that's why in the Catholic Church, they don't put up their trees yet, because they're celebrating this Advent season, truly preparing themselves for the joy that comes when Christ is born. And that's why in our house, I refuse to let Aaron take down our tree until Epiphany on January 6th, because I really want to celebrate those 12 days of Christmas. But I can't stop myself. I must buy my tree on Thanksgiving. Because I just have to make the whole season last. But this season is a season of preparation. We prepare all season long. We decorate our homes. We buy gifts. We order things on Amazon so our UPS workers have to travel all over. But it isn't just about the work that we do to prepare. We also have to recognize how God is preparing as well. We come in this morning to our scripture text from the prophet Isaiah, and Connie read, and I love this passage from the prophet. He says this. He says, "The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert, the place where there appears to be no life at all, it shall blossom and it shall rejoice." Over and over again, we hear in the prophet Isaiah a vision for what God's future will look like, the promise of the coming of the Messiah. And what we hear in these verses is that even the most desolate parts of creation, even the parts that are the farthest from humanity, the parts that we won't even go and touch, that God is there and God is working and God is preparing in those moments. We are accustomed to reading sacred scriptures where people of God rejoice. We hear this in the Psalms, we hear it throughout the Gospels, but in this chapter where the prophet Isaiah shares God's vision for Judah, it's even the desert, even the dry places, even the wilderness where God's creation is rejoicing. On this third Sunday of Advent, one of the things that we are reminded of is that God comes preparing a way for the Messiah. Not just in the places where we often feel joy, but even in the desert places, even in the wilderness places, even in the places where we might feel darkness or despair. I often hear about how much people love this season, this Christmas time. But one of the things I also often hear that we don't talk about in church is how dark and filled with grief this time is. As many people suffer from illness, as many people recognize that their dinner tables, they won't see a familiar face this year, as many people watch their bank accounts plummet into the red. This isn't always a season of joy. But Isaiah reminds us that even in those dark, desert, wilderness places, we are called to rejoice because God is preparing a way. As we have been looking around our manger scene, you'll notice each week we add a new character, right? Up here. And so this week we've added Mary to the mix. Mary's story is one of familiarity to many of us, and we often debate who Mary might have been. Some say that she could have been young. Others say she could have been old. We also debate Joseph's age, too. But there's not a whole lot we really know about Mary, other than she is there at the very, very beginning, right? And she's also there at the very end, at the cross, seeing her son hung and crucified. So as we read this morning, I want to share the story of Mary from Luke this morning. So if you read Luke chapter 1, the first scene that you get is of Elizabeth, right? As she is barren, and she becomes pregnant, right, with John, Jesus' cousin, okay? And so then the angel comes and appears to Mary. So I'm going to read Luke 1. I'm going to start in verse 26. It says this: "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came and said, 'Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you.' But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be." So just in these few verses, we get to know Mary quite a bit, right? We hear she's a virgin, although there is some debate among scholars as to what that word specifically means. Matthew makes it pretty clear when he says she has no sexual relations. Luke does not. We also know she's engaged to Joseph. And we know that she is favored by God. For some reason, we do not know. But God has chosen her for this task. It says, "Then the angel said to her, 'Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb, you will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end.' Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' The Lord said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, a child to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. Then Mary said, 'Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." One song that we often hear at Christmas time, I may be kicked out of the church for saying this, but is "Mary, Did You Know?" It's on the radio, we hear it in church. It is my least favorite song of all time. Don't kick me out, please. and not only do I just not like it, I also just don't like the message behind it, the question, "Mary, did you know?" Because Mary does know, right? Mary hears directly from the angel, "Hey, this is your son. You're going to name him Jesus, and he's going to be great. He's going to be the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him throne, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever." hey, your son's going to be different. If you've ever had a child, I don't know how you found out you were pregnant. Aaron and I recently found out we were expecting, and this was not how it happened. An angel did not appear and say, Cassie, you are going to bear a child, and it will be great, because it's probably going to be a little terror, just like its sister. The little one. The older one is nice. The little one, not so much. No, right? You just take a test, right? No angels appeared. But Mary, she gets this special event that happens. This angel appears to her and says, this is going to be your son. And she pushes back a little bit, right? She says, whoa, whoa, whoa. This isn't possible, okay? Because I'm a virgin. I think we all know where babies come from, right? Yes, maybe. Okay, so not really possible, right? Mary's like, whoa. So then the angel explains to her, no, God, the Spirit of God is going to overshadow you, and you will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. And so once God kind of explains it to her, she says, here I am, God. Let it be according to your word. Her preparation is accepting what God has called her to do. And then in the next few verses, she goes and she's with her cousin, right? She's with Elizabeth. And then we hear this song that Mary sings out, which echoes Hannah's song in Samuel. And she says, my soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices, for he has looked with favor on his lowliest of his servant. Surely from now all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. I said Mary was there at the beginning, but Mary's also there at the end. She watches her son be born, and she also watches her son die. And I don't know about you, but nothing can prepare you for that. Nothing can prepare you for birth. No matter how many diapers you buy or onesies you hang in your closet or how many people shower you with gifts, you are never prepared for 2 a.m. feedings, right? But you're also not prepared for what Mary had to face at the end of her son's life, for the joy and also for the grief. But God is there, and God is always preparing. I was reading a story this week about this little boy who was in a Christmas pageant. How many of you have ever been in a Christmas pageant? Some of us, many of us. And so he was given this important role in the church play. He was going to be the angel, the one that announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. And for weeks he rehearsed his lines, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And so the grandparents, they got in on it, and they got him dressed in his costume, and they rehearsed his part with him, and over and over and over again, they would rehearse his line, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And they were certain when he grew up he was going to win an Oscar, because he was so great at his role. And so the night came for the Christmas pageant, and everyone was there, and his grandparents, and his parents, and his aunts, and his uncles, and all of his extended family. And all the children were in their costumes. They all had their bathrobes on, right? And their fake angel halos. And everyone was excited. And so the pageant started. And it was time for the announcement. It was time for him to say, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And the spotlight came in from the back of the church right on him, right? And you know what he did? He froze. And the grandparents are sitting right there in the front row, mouthing, behold, right? I could just see all the moms out there mouthing the lines. And he just couldn't say it. And finally, he just blurted out, hey, I've got news for you. Sometimes in our lives, it doesn't matter how much preparing we do. because things are going to happen the way they happen. I doubt Mary ever thought to herself, I'm going to travel to Bethlehem, and there's not going to be a place for me to stay, and I'm going to have to give birth around a bunch of animals, and I'm not going to have a cute little crib. I'm going to have a manger. God's version of preparing us often doesn't look like what we think it's supposed to. But God is there. God is there in the desert places. God is there in the darkness. God is there in our worry and in our grief. And we are called to rejoice. One of my really good pastor friends, last week he preached on joy, and so I'm stealing his sermon ending today. he looked up the word joy in a Bible dictionary, Strong's Bible Dictionary. I think I mentioned this last week. And joy has a really interesting definition that I had never heard until I heard it from him. And it means this. It means awareness of God's grace. Grace recognized. When we experience joy, even in the midst of grief or fear or uncertainty, it doesn't necessarily mean happiness, but rather experiencing the holy. Recognizing the beautiful grace of God that comes even if you have to give birth in front of animals. The grace that comes even at the crucifixion. The joy that comes when things don't go as planned. That's what this season is about. Recognizing the grace of God. Amen. Let's pray. God, I give you thanks. I thank you for Mary. And God, just as Lisa sang for us this morning, let us be like her and bear your light in the world. But God, not because of anything we do, because of what you do. God, just as much as we are called to prepare, we are also called to recognize how you are preparing and calling us. God, as we continue to look forward to Christmas, let us make room for you in our hearts and in our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.